Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Neat or on the rocks? It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Always love catching up with 13 WAMP Sports Director, Buffalo Plus, Mike Catalana, as the Buffalo Bills get set for their mandatory mini camp tomorrow. And of course, I think the big question everybody's going to have on their mind, Mike, and the first question that will be asked tomorrow morning of Sean McDermott, is James Cook in attendance?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be there. I don't see any sign pointing to James being there. Listen, maybe we'll get surprised. Maybe he's showing up right now, getting ready for tomorrow, but I don't feel like that has been the case. I think he's trying to get attention here for his contract expectations. And I don't know how much of a response he's getting. So it's a 3-day mini camp. You guys all know it'll end up being two. They always seem to cancel the third day. But I would not expect to see James Cook there tomorrow.
Well, Mike, this would be something, correct me if I'm wrong, we haven't had something like this in the Brandon Bean era. A hold out, like at what point does it become a concern if he's somehow he's there at training camp, but if he's not? Mike, play this out if indeed this is going to go this direction.
It's not great if it's a hold in, right? If he shows up to report, you know, I'm only here so I won't get fined, but isn't playing. And we've seen guys do that, right? Maybe he's dealing with something injury-wise.
Yeah.
Whatever the circumstances are, listen, I am all for a player looking out for himself. And I don't think James Cook believes he's, like, obviously, Bean said it pretty bluntly. Like, they had done all those other deals, and he was like, yeah, we weren't really close, so for right now, we moved on. That didn't sound like it's going to be constant contract talks. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, guys, like, what does James Cook really want? Does he want? I think he wants a long-term deal like any player would want. I think he wants to be paid what he thinks he wants to be paid. Maybe he doesn't really want it in Buffalo. Maybe he likes it, doesn't love it. Maybe he feels like, if I'm going to spend a good chunk of the middle of my career somewhere, I don't necessarily want to be in the cold of Buffalo for the next however long. As great as it's been and playing with Josh Allen and all those things, it is his choice. So he set a number that he believes he can get. I think the best way to get that for him is to play well for the Bills this year and then become an unrestricted free agent. Maybe there's some negotiating that goes on where they promise not to franchise him, though I don't think there's any chance they would franchise him. I don't know, one way or the other. But I do think it's going to be an issue. It's just a matter of how much of one.
That's interesting. You mentioned the franchise tag. It's something that the Bills haven't employed in a long time, certainly not during the Brandon Bean era. Do you think that there's any chance at all? I mean, that's traditionally kind of viewed as a hostile move, and fewer teams seem to be employing it. But if you do have James Cook playing at a high level in 2025 and you fall short, wouldn't you want to try to bring that guy back while you still have this Josh Allen window open?
Yeah, but to try to make another plan, and, like, you know, this year was a draft loaded with running backs, and you might want to look at that and say, you know, maybe there would have been a place to draft a running back. But I think it gives them the off season, and I think that it is a two-way street. Like, at that point, James Cook has a lot of leverage, because I don't think there's any chance the Bills would want to put that cap hit, because, you know, once you put the tag on a guy, you have to hold that spot. I don't think they in any way would want to pay him on a one-year franchise tag. It's too high of a number. Even if, you know, that running back number has gone up.
Yeah.
I think at this point, guys, you know, somebody, I heard Jerry Ostrowski talk, and he was like, hey, you look at that new stadium and you're wondering, does James Cook ever play in that new stadium for the Bills? I don't like the odds of that happening. I still think he plays for the Bills this year because, you know, part of me says, like, is there some sort of a trade or something? But, like, who's looking to make that deal right now? Who's the team that is saying we need a back? Do the Dallas Cowboys want to do that and look for a back? Do they then give up an asset and then give James Cook the money he wants? You know, Jerry throws those, you know, dollars around like manhole covers, man. He's not big on paying the guys who've been there and doing it. So I don't know what the end game is. But like I said, I think the best route for James Cook to get what he ultimately wants is to be at camp, to participate, to play well, and to then go free and see what he gets on the open market.
You know, Bean did get a second-round pick for Stephon Diggs. Timing a little different, Mike. We were not this deep into the offseason, but let's say, okay, we have to explore a world where James Cook isn't on this roster. Do the Bills have enough with Ray Davis and Ty Johnson and whatever else is behind them?
No. I like Ray Davis a lot. But, you know, I was making this point. It's been a running back by committee, right? Ty Johnson's just great at what he does. Ray showed a lot. And obviously James Cook was very good in his role on the team. And if you move everybody up a notch in one way or the other, honestly, you're missing, you know, you want to say Ray Davis is James Cook. Who's Ray Davis? Like, they need that. I don't know. Is Ray Davis ready to take on 75% of the snaps? Like, I don't see that. I think if they were, for some reason, feel like they had to move on from James Cook, they'd be in the market for a veteran running back, somebody to come in to help them. You know, I know, like, Frank Gore Jr.'s there. I know they have Darrington Evans there. I feel like they would be back out there saying, who's out there to help us right now? I hope for the Bills' sake it doesn't come to that. I think Cook is a playmaker. I think he's a very good player, but, you know, the Bills have a number. They have a position, value, and, you know, he's not Barkley. He's not. I mean, he's a very good player, but Barkley had 2,000 yards last year. So it's what do you want to pay a guy for what he brings to your team, and it feels like they're pretty far apart.
Mike, we learned today through a report that earlier this offseason, the Bills were sniffing around Green Bay and trying to get Jair Alexander to come to Buffalo in way of a trade. Now, knowing what they've done here in the offseason and through the draft, do you close the door completely on that when Alexander gets cut by Green Bay later today? Or are you going into the, you know, mini camp and training camp saying, you know what, I think we're set at corner?
Yeah, that's really interesting, and I didn't see the exact report, but I'm wondering what the dynamics were, you know, because obviously there was a lot of talk of him being gone, really, even during last season, and I thought he might be a player the Bills were interested in. You know, I don't know. I don't know if I see that for them right now. Like, what would be the plan behind that, to have him? I mean, you're bringing him in. Is he starting for you as opposed to your number one pick? Is he, you know, I don't know. I guess I look at it and I would be surprised. I guess it would be at a right number, but I would assume he's vested veteran anyhow getting cut at this time, so he's free to go anywhere. I don't think they would be, but I guess you're always looking for talent and at the right price maybe, but I would think that's not going to be the case.
13 Wham Buffalo Plus's Mike Catalana. Bills mini camp beginning tomorrow. It's our last look at the Bills before training camp at St. John Fisher University. And Mike, you know, this time of year, every year, whoever the top pick is, that's a story. And people will ask you, hey, tell me about Maxwell Harrison. It's not only a story. I think, Mike, to me, that's the most interesting camp battle. I mean, is Harrison going to show enough? And are we believing in Tre'Davious White? We know Tre'Davious White's story. It's hard not to pull for the guy. But how would you assess that matchup here as we're going to be heading to the Fisher looking at the corner two battle?
I think they want Maxwell Harrison to win the job. I really do think they do. Who doesn't want to see Trey White be that guy and come in, whether he starts the beginning of the year? Like, you know, there is no great downside if week one Hairston's not starting, but they think he's close, and they want to get him out on the field and get him some time before you start out against the Ravens in week number one, right? I mean, he is a rookie, and sometimes that's not the case. Now, the guy on the other side was a sixth-round pick, and I still remember being in L.A. looking down on the field and seeing him get the start over Kyir Elam when they played the Rams, which is for Benford, the sixth-round guy out of Villanova. So they're not afraid to do that and play a rookie anyhow. But, you know, if Trey White signing with another team, like he did go to the Rams, he did go to Baltimore, you know, I don't think it was the same thing. I think there is a little nostalgia, and everybody loves Trey, to think that, like, he's going to be revitalized and be that guy again. I think it's a safety net. I think he knows the defense. It's a floor, and that's where you think he could be. But, you know, to me, it's like they want Hairston to be there, just like they want Cole Bishop to absolutely win that other safety spot. Because, you know, DeMar is a, you know, good Buffalo Bill, but, like, you drafted this kid to be a starter, just like with Hairston. I think you drafted him to start day one. Let's see if he ends up doing enough to earn that spot and be on the field.
Mike, while we're talking about the Bills' defense, it's the second level of the defense that I'm curious about, because we know that this is likely Matt Milano's last season in Buffalo. He's earned that. We also know that Dorian Williams, you know, played well last year, leading the team in tackles. And I'm wondering, at this stage of their careers, is Dorian Williams better than Matt Milano?
You know, that's a really good point, Danger, because, you know, there were flashes in the playoffs where you saw that old Matt Milano, which is great, right? But, man, there's a lot of snaps and a lot of things you need to do at linebacker. And I think the Bills, based on salary reasons and just talent-wise, you know, and even if Milano is really good, it's hard to depend on him for 17 plus the playoffs. So I think they're both going to play a lot. I don't know if he's better, but, you know, this is what you do. We talk about this draft, develop, and re-sign kind of guy. That's why it's a big year for Dorian Williams to show he can step right in and be that guy. He had to do it a lot last year. But I still think they hold out that hope of seeing those flashes of Milano being just an exceptional player. But I think you're right. I think if this is where it's going, then the question is, how confident are they in Dorian going forward after this because of the way the contracts work out? But, yeah, I mean, look, you know, the writing is on the wall for that, like you're saying, and we'll see how it plays out. But I think, I don't know if he's better, but I think in long term, I think if you looked at him going forward, I think they do have a plan for Dorian Williams long term.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
And talking about draft, develop, and re-sign, there are two guys on the defensive line, Mike. You know, the last guy being Rousseau, where the Bills, he didn't get top dollar. Maybe he could have gotten more had he headed to free agency or whatever next year, but he's here. The Bills did this a couple years ago with Ed Oliver. What are your thoughts on the defensive line? Because to me, it always seems like whether we're talking about Rousseau or talking about Oliver, it always seems like we're wanting a little bit more out of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious that they're revamping the line or attempting to. Now, look, I had a nice talk with Michael Hoyt at camp last week. Energetic guy, you know. I have not talked to Ogunjobi yet. But you made two major moves there and signed a free agent in Bosa, and you look at that and you say, two are suspended and one's hurt again. So I know Bean is trying, and they have the draft picks, and I know they're trying to get the right guys there to help. But part of me is concerned about that too, because, man, it's just frustrating to go out and use the assets and then not have those guys ready to go and help. But I think you got to be fair to Rousseau. Dan and Jenna give me a hard time. I'm like, Team Rousseau. I see his talent. I just don't think he's had help around him enough. And, you know, the hope is that Bosa could be that guy on the other side and when he's healthy. And Ed is good, but, you know, I don't think Daquan is what he used to be. So maybe bringing some other guys in will help elevate both of them. It's the same way when I look at the offense and I go, I think Khalil Shakir is a heck of a player. Give him some help on the outside, and I think you'd see his numbers pop. Because his numbers were good, but the numbers would pop. I think the same thing of Rousseau. If Bosa's healthy and making plays, or Jackson becomes one of those guys, I think Rousseau's numbers go up. But absolutely, this team needs more in the D-line. It's just a little frustrating the way the season's going to start.
I feel like where we are this year versus where we were last year, when you look at the wide receiver room, we're in a better place, even though last year we were still in the Diggs hangover, like, oh boy, who are we going to get to replace all that production? And obviously the Bills did just fine, and Josh Allen got his first MVP. You look at this year's group of receivers, and one name in particular that I think could be massive for the Buffalo Bills, the guy that recently signed, Elijah Moore. But with that signing, Mike, I'm curious, do they look at Keon Coleman as like a big slot that they can use in that position and that role with a guy like Moore, who's got that great speed on the outside?
I think that's where he fits as a player. Now, you know, if you look at the Bills' receiving group, like, based on, you got a lot of guys who seem to be fit-wise, guys on the inside and the slot. Like, they tried to have Keon be a guy, go down the field as an X and make plays. He didn't make any, really, rarely made those plays. I mean, Mac Hollins was a better outside receiver than him. And in fairness to Keon, you know, like Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, we talked to him at the Combine, and we were talking about Keon and what's going on. He's like, he had said the whole time, Keon is a slot guy, big slot player, and the Bills are saying he's going to play on the outside. It's almost like square peg, round hole here a little bit. So in fairness to him, also with Kincaid and Shakir, there's a lot of guys who seem to fit that profile. I don't know how they can split the snaps up, but if you're going to play guys on the outside, they got to be guys who win on the outside. And I don't think Keon on the outside scares anybody. I don't think he's the guy who separates. I don't think he's the guy who has the speed. I don't think that's the strength of his game. So, yeah, I think Elijah Moore is going to get opportunities. I think Josh Palmer is going to get opportunities. I think they're going to try to I'm sure they'll probably try to even play Shakir at times a little bit more on the outside to get something out there. But the mix of the room is kind of odd, is the way I look at it. All pass catchers, including the tight end. So I think that part's almost a little unfair to Keon, because I don't think that's where his strength is.
Well, we're hoping for a jump from year one to year two for Keon Coleman. What about year two to year three for Dalton Kincaid? Because I'm sure you get that question a lot. You guys talk about it on Buffalo Plus. But
yeah,
is it just the everybody eats? Has it been health? What are the reasons you might say, like, what are the things that might have held Dalton Kincaid back here to this point? What's actually the hope for him this year, Mike?
You know, sometimes when the Bills talk about injuries, and I respect all the players, and I know they play hurt, but sometimes you feel like you want to roll your eyes a little, where it's like, oh, it's an injury, and this is why. And they said that with Spencer Brown, and I give him credit. And then Spencer Brown came back and healthier, and he was really good. They said a lot about Gabe. Gabe was who he is. Like, they've made a very big point of telling us that Kincaid played through stuff, and I'm sure that he did. I've also, you know, the numbers will tell you it was Josh Allen's fault, because he didn't throw him catchable balls. I'm going to be a smart aleck here. He was MVP for everybody else, but when he threw to Dalton Kincaid, he couldn't put it on the money. I don't buy that as much. Like, Kincaid's got to be better. And they sold him to us as a difference-maker tight end. talked of him being a wide receiver. He has not, even though he put up decent numbers as a rookie, he was not that guy. You know, and I hear people that want to go, it would have been top 10 all-time rookie stat numbers. Like, most rookie tight ends didn't do very much. It's year two and year three where the best guys really excel. So let's see where he is. Big hope for him to do that. But if he's healthy, you know, they talked about him getting stronger. We'll see. Some guys don't necessarily look it. I mean, I saw him at camp. He's a big kid, but I didn't appear that he was bigger. But it doesn't mean he's not stronger. So it is a big year for him. Because at the end of this year, they make a decision on the fifth-year option for a number one pick. So, I think there's, I'll say, reasons, not excuses, for why Kincaid was not that impactful last year. Let's see if he's healthier and more time with Josh Allen if those numbers pick up.
Mike Catalano, 13 WHAM Sports and Buffalo Plus, our guest in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. We're previewing Buffalo Bills mandatory minicamp, which gets underway tomorrow. We're going to hear from Sean McDermott tomorrow morning. We're going to hear from Josh Allen later in the afternoon. Mike, what are we looking to learn besides what maybe was on the menu at the wedding a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, I wonder how much, you know, it's funny. I've never, like, ever, I think, asked anything even close to a personal question, but I guess this is a little more... Like, he just got married, so it's like, hey, congrats. Like, I don't know how. He sort of shies away from talking about any of that stuff.
Yeah.
But we'll see what it is. Look, they're going to say the same thing about James Cook tomorrow. If he's not there, it's going to be, hey, we wish the went the best for James. This is part of the NFL, blah, 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 and all those things. I don't know. You know, Josh is pretty tight-lipped about a lot of that stuff, even on the offense. I will say this. He's usually pretty open about the things he wants to work on. Obviously, the man says, I want to work on turnovers, and then goes and has a historic turnover-free, relatively speaking, season. You know, I think the thing he needs to work on, you know, I joked about the thing with Kincaid, is passes down the field, which the guy's got the big arm, but we just don't see that. His numbers are not great on longer passes, so I know that's something he needs to work on. Would help with the explosiveness, especially you mentioned the guys, you know, that could get some separation down the field. He's going to hit those plays. My guess is that's what we might hear from Josh, getting together with some of those players and making some of those bigger plays downfield to make life a little easier for himself and for the entire offense. But, that's the part usually I find that to be, you know, this is what I want to work on. This is what I want to be better at in 25. Let's hear what he has to say about it.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike, before we let you go, just great job pulling up that footage of, the Amherst last Calder Cup run, Scotty Metcalf. And I know you had some thoughts, certainly, on, what a loss that is for our town here.
You know, I said in the piece, it was like, he was an Amherst, right? He was a guy who came in, embraced his role, embraced the city, embraced his teammates. And we all know, like, Metter was around, like, that was the guy, and he's a Rochester guy, like, and we love that in a player, especially for a guy like him, who was a first-round draft pick, and he thought his career was going to go one way, and he just embraced that part of it, and it is really sad, I think, you know, with a lot of things with his family and his growing, you know, kids and his son in med school and all the things going on in his life. You know, somebody, Rich Becker, used to work with and said, he sent me a note, and I think he tweeted it, too. He's like, you know, Jody is Mr. Amherst, and he is an all-time great player. But, man, Metcalf is also a Mr. Amherst because he just embraced everything about it. And I've had people reach out just about the things he said to them, you know, when you'd see him out and about. So it's a big loss for the franchise just because – you know, he's one of those Rochester guys who a true Rochester American, and just so sad to hear. And you know, I feel for his family and his kids, because a lot of great things are probably in store for the family, and Metter's not going to be with us in this life now, and that's a loss for his family.
Mike, Bills minicamp getting underway. Mandatory minicamp starting tomorrow. Tell us about the coverage that we can expect out of 13WM Sports and Buffalo Plus.
Yeah, we'll be doing our podcast probably from up there tomorrow, working on that. We're also we added something to our array of podcasts, where we're doing something called The League with Buffalo Plus. So each week we're going to be talking about more league issues, some that certainly pertain to the Bills. Probably get some salary cap noise in there as the league's trying to make it real. We tell people all the time why the salary cap's not real. Then the NFL comes out and goes, we have to make it more real, because these teams that spend money are just having too big of an advantage. So we'll be talking about all those things. But tomorrow, my guess is we're going to be talking about Josh and James and all the good things that go on at the mandatory. Got to be there. It's mandatory camp, so we got to be showing up.
Yeah. Boy, the Pirates are a tough team. I gotta, like, that's a really, really tough weekend for you there, Mike.
I'm sorry. I was busy with a lot of stuff. What went on? Did something go on with the Pirates?
They swept your Phillies.
Oh, okay. Well, it's still June, right?
Last I checked, yeah.
Yeah, I just pointing that out. That's all. You know, 4.5 lead.
It's June. I mean, since probably no team's been swept by the Pirates in like 40 years, that was probably a big deal. And I think the Phillies, you know, scoring like 3 runs in 3 games or whatever it was is probably pretty bad. But
as a friend, I'm just lending my hand out to you. That must have been really tough. I'm sorry about that.
While I appreciate the reaching out, just so you know, I'm fine. I'm not a Mets fan. I don't need that. I'm fine. I know what my team's going to be. They'll get their act together. They'll be really good in the playoffs this year, and they'll be fine. They'll be fine. They'll be in the playoffs. Obviously, we know that. So
I'm not a Mets fan. I don't need that.
Yeah, I mean,
God, I love
so
that.
Much. They
is
need
so good.
Oh my God! By the way, I will say, I'm going to give the Mets some credit for something. You deserve better than a split against the Dodgers. I thought they outplayed them that entire series. I think they probably could have swept that series. Now, I mean, you've been playing the dregs like the Phillies did, but it was an impressive split. It should have been 3, maybe 4 against the Dodgers. But, you know, it's June, buddy. It's June. Let's see where we are in September.
Wow. I feel pretty good after this conversation.
Your team is the best in the National League. What's he going to say? Oh, the Mets suck. No, they don't. They don't suck.
No,
they're a good team.
I thought he was going to come back with, play Colorado again, yeah.
You know what? It's just, the fall is going to be so much fun. It's going to be so much fun.
I'm talking fall, autumn. Yes, autumn's going to be so much fun for the Mets. If that's
okay. Yes, yes. A Mike, precipitous drop, as they say. You wait. It's coming.
Appreciate the time as always, buddy. Talk soon.
All right, fellas.
There he is, 13WM Sports Director, the Hall of Famer for Buffalo Plus. That's Mike Catalano, Philly guy.
To recap the beginning of the conversation, he doesn't think James Cook's going to be there.
I don't think he's going to be there either. I think there are plenty of guys that are holding out for their contracts that aren't showing up to mandatory minicamps. They'll eat the fine, make a statement, and not show up. I don't think he's going to be there. I mean, you know, and Sean McDermott's going to have to field all the questions about it, and it'll probably come down to we're working with the guys that are here.
Yeah, talking points. We're working with the guys that are here. It's an opportunity for Frank Gore Jr. Or Darrington Evers.
We need others to step up. Next man up. Yeah, I mean, you already kind of know what's going to be said if he's not there. I don't think he's going to be there, and that's business. You know, hey, it's his choice. It's, you know, of course, it's mandatory, so we want him here. We're concerned about that.
He's got the Bills in this regard. Mike's right. Like, we like Ray Davis. We like Ty Johnson. That's not the same if everybody goes up. One level up here.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know that the Bills view it that way. Like, you could look at James Cook versus Ray Davis and say one is just way more talented than the other. But I don't know that they care about talent at that position as much as they care about production at that position. If they're looking at just production, well, then Ray Davis can probably get you the production that you got from James Cook next season.
I can't say that.
We don't
know.
We need to see more of Ray Davis is what we need to see because we didn't see enough.
Well, it's a different – it worked last year, Danger, because they all had a different skill set. The weaknesses of James Cook, pass blocking, third down, picked up by the other two. You can't match the speed of James Cook.
No, he's a good player.
Yeah.
He's a good player. He's a talented player. Can you find somebody like that next year in the draft? Can you elevate a Ray? Will we see more of Ray Davis this year, knowing that Cook may not be around after this year? It's interesting. Clearly, one is more talented than the other. There's a reason why Ty Johnson is a third down back and not an every down back. Mm-hmm. And James Cook, when he is on the field, boy, he is fun. He's got that speed. He's got that in his DNA, man. Dalvin was a great running back too. But their flame shines bright, and then it just starts to dim. With Dalvin, it was the injuries. And with James, I think it's going to be where is he post-Buffalo? I agree with the assessment that James might just be looking at, hey, do I want to spend the prime years of my career in Buffalo? And in that regard, asking for $15 million, what's the worst that can happen?
My
contract runs out and I go somewhere else and make the money that I believe I deserve because somebody will pay him $15 million.
Yeah, we don't want to explore that. Like, why wouldn't somebody want to be here? We haven't had this in the Bean era.
You're right.
That's the thing. This is new.
We'll come back with more next in the Sports Bar, including Keith McPherson from our Odyssey Sports sister station, WFAN in New York City. He hosts KM to AM. We're hearing Jay Wright has told the New York Knicks, nah, I'm good.
I'm just fine.
Yeah.
Didn't get off of first base there, which means, oh my gosh.
They really didn't have a plan. They really didn't have a plan.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You didn't have a plan. Also, I'm going to give you a take on the Buffalo Bills, because if you could go back in time, this time last year, would you have bet Josh Allen as the MVP? Well, of course you would have. I'm looking at something right now. It's not the MVP, but hear me out on this. Could the Buffalo Bills have an award winner they haven't had since the 80s? I'll explain.
We'll get to that and more. Your calls are welcome at 585-866-4FAN, 866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.